From the studios of WHQR Public Radio in Wilmington, this is Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis Hilburn. It's the day after midterm elections. Republicans effectively walloped Democrats, sweeping into power with a majority in both chambers in Washington. At the state and local levels, election results generally mirrored the national pattern. What policy changes are we likely to see now in southeastern North Carolina? Voter turnout in North Carolina was impressive this election cycle. In fact, with early voting shortened by a week, voters still set a record for turnout in midterm elections. And last night, the State Board of Elections announced a new record for overall turnout in the state for a midterm election. We have two guests joining us today to sort through the results. Dr. Jim Luzzi is former chancellor of UNCW and was a professor of history at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. He created an international affairs program on PBS called Globe Watch, which aired for 15 years. Dr. Luzzi was also a member of the North Carolina Progress Board and is a former candidate for the state Senate. Dr. Luzzi recently published a political history of the state called Entering North Carolina Sets Clocks Back 100 Years. Dr. Jim Luzzi, welcome to Coastline.
Glad to be with you.
Dr. Craig Galbraith is a professor of entrepreneurship and technology management at UNCW's Cameron School of Business. He's a GlaxoSmithKline faculty fellow in economic development. He's written 6 books and published over 100 academic articles. Dr. Galbraith currently hosts The Economic Times, a weekly radio show on WMYT 106.7. Dr. Galbraith, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon.
And just to be clear about the political orientation of our guests, Dr. Galbraith, how would you say you identify politically?
Oh, I would say I'm definitely a conservative, particularly conservative economist. There are some differences, but that would certainly be my primary perspective.
And is it fair to call you a Republican?
To the extent that the Republicans do follow the conservative process, yes.
And Dr. Luzzi, is it fair to say you're a dedicated Democrat?
I think of myself as a moderate progressive.
Okay, that's fair. During the next hour, you're invited to join our discussion. Do you have a question about the election results or a message for the newly elected officials? Do you have a comment about the general direction of the state or the Cape Fear region? If so, give us a call at 910-343-1138 or send an email to coastline@whqr.org. You can also tweet us at @CoastlineHQR. Dr. James Luzzi, were there any surprises this election season?
Not really. I think it was basically a status quo election. In other words, there were some minor changes around the edges. A few seats in the House went to Democrats. The Republicans gained one more Senate seat. Here in our area, very little change. Rouser won, as everybody expected him to take Mike McIntyre's seat. So I think it was a status quo election with very few surprises.
Dr. Galbraith, is this what you expected the morning after?
Not quite. I think the Republicans did a lot better than I think a lot of people thought. I would tend to agree somewhat in the state because there was such a dominant victory by the Republicans during the last election that you really wouldn't expect any sort of additional aspects to that particular thing. But when you look at the whole nation in general, I think it was a devastating loss to the Democrats, and I think it was actually much more of a loss to the Democrats than both the Democrats thought it would be and the Republicans could hope for.
Dr. Luzzi, you've
let's remember that in 1982, Ronald Reagan lost 26 House seats in that by-election, just as a measure of relativity.
Right. You've actually compared this campaign season to, you've called it an issueless campaign, and you've compared it to a Seinfeld episode. What do you mean by that?
I meant that we really didn't discuss the important issues. This is particularly North Carolina-centric, and I think true across the country. We didn't get into any in-depth discussions about the economy. We didn't get into any in-depth discussions about foreign policy. We didn't get into any in-depth issues about energy, whatever fracking or offshore drilling or energy policy generally. So I think the country faces a lot of very serious issues, but this election hardly touched on those issues.
And why is that, Dr. Galbraith? Is there a reason that, for instance, in the U.S. Senate race, we watched a local debate between Kay Hagan and Tom Tillis. Sean Haw was also part of that. And we heard from Tom Tillis that Kay Hagan is an Obama rubber stamper. And we heard from Kay Hagan that Tom Tillis is afraid to establish a clear Middle Eastern policy. And it was almost... answers came sometimes in the form of non sequiturs. It didn't matter what the question was. That's what we were going to hear in the answer. Why is that?
Well, I think there's a couple reasons. I do believe there are some fundamental differences. I believe there are fundamental differences when you look at the Obama administration and the Democratic Party in that process historically as well as at the present time versus the Republican and the more conservative economics point of view. But I think one of the problems with an election process is that it's been reduced to sound bites. And what sound bites are is you can't get into the details. I think if you sit down and you talk with some of these people, that you do have some underlying philosophies and difference of opinions that are there. It's just that unfortunately in debates and in advertising, $100 million of advertising spent here within the North Carolina area on the Senate race, it's very difficult to get to what those underlying issues are. So you hear sound bites like, I'm for jobs. Or I'm for education, or I'm against the war on women and these sort of things. But that really doesn't get to some of the fundamental issues.
I think also the point is that candidates are handled, and I think overhandled. They may want to say something, but they're being told to avoid that issue, and they do it at their peril. If they do, they'll lose the support of the people that are handling them. And I'm talking about professional consultants that are handling them.
What are some of the bigger policy issues, the decisions that we're likely to see coming down the pike at the state level now?
Well, I think at the state level, you have a process where immediately upon the control by the Republican Party, they got very excited and they started to do a number of different things. And as an economist, some of those things were very good. I think reducing the corporate tax rate is a very, very effective way of stimulating economic growth and business growth. But then they started to do a number of other things that I think people just got kind of excited at. Some poorly written laws, I think taking away some of the authority from the local communities. Again, I'm chairman of the Planning Commission at a local city. And so taking away some of the authority of the local community, which is exactly opposite of what you would expect the Republicans to do.
I think the Republicans, they called it what they were doing breathtaking. And I think it was breathtaking. And I was surprised that once they got elected that they did not hew more to the middle, that they continued on a fairly right-wing course. And I finally figured out that the two reasons were that they had redistricted the state so carefully that they did not have to worry, and voter suppression was also going to have an impact, and I think it had an impact on this election.
Dr. Galbraith, how do conservative Republicans view this voter law? You are clearly an independent thinker, and you don't always align with the Republican Party, although that's where you often fall in your thinking. But when it comes to these massive election law changes that occurred during the last session, and it's something that the nation has been watching, and these changes have been called some of the strictest in the nation. Where do you fall on that? Is it a mischaracterization to call it voter suppression?
No, I think it's a mischaracterization. I think the primary concern is that everybody wants to have people that are eligible to vote. In fact, I would love to see 100% turnout for these sort of things. But, I think that there is an issue that you do want to make sure that fraud is not taking place. You do want to make sure that people aren't voting five or six times. And these are concerns. Now, whether it actually does happen a lot or doesn't happen a lot, that's certainly open for debate. But I think the process of establishing a mechanism where you make sure that the people that are authorized to vote do have the opportunity to vote and the people that aren't authorized to vote don't vote, I think that's the primary concern. You have to do that through a legal process.
But we've also heard from so many people that this voter fraud really can only be traced to absentee ballots, and that wasn't really addressed in these election law changes.
Well, I mean, voter fraud, it depends on what state you're looking at. Certainly in North Carolina, there's some examples where, you know, people have tried to vote. I can give you an example of just my daughter, for example, who filled out a registration form on campus at UNCW. She's a student at UNCW. And that was never filed because she's concerned because she checked the Republican box. And so, funny, we went to vote yesterday and she was not registered, but she filled it out on campus by a student or people trying to get people to register. So there are those sort of things that take place. A lot of that stuff isn't going to end up in the news, but these are concerns.
I'm shocked that Craig and I don't agree on this subject. And I think it's rather interesting that in the effort to stop non-existent voter fraud, it happens to work to the advantage of one party in that it tends to disadvantage blacks, the elderly, and young people. All people who are likely to vote Democratic.
And Dr. Luzzi, when we come back from the break, I want to talk to you a little bit about some of the assertions in your book, Entering North Carolina Sets Clocks Back 100 Years, because in that book, it sounds like you're very upset about the direction of this state compared to the way you saw it in the 60s, in the 1960s.
That's correct. I'd like to talk about that.
Okay. You're listening to Coastline. Now that the dust is settling, we're sorting through the results of this midterm election. If you have a question for our guests, Drs. Jim Luzzi and Craig Galbraith, give us a call at 910-343-1138. You can also email us at coastline@whqr.org or tweet us using coastlinehqr. You're listening to Coastline here on 91.3 FM HQR News.